morning. How are you guys doing? Man, you know, this morning, you guys don't get to see all the time behind the scenes, but this morning has been quite a ride. I was thinking about, as I was preparing this message for this morning, these last 24 days of this new year has been quite a ride. I don't know about you guys, but it seems like in the last 24 days, it seems to me, honestly, that we've probably had about a year's worth of highlights packed into about, you know, almost a month, not even a month yet. And that's a kind of a fast and furious pace. I don't know how you guys are feeling, but, you know, coming out of 2020, we're going, oh, finally, 2021. Hang on, you know, buckle up. Here we go. I was thinking about that, and the main reason is, you know, God, when I was praying, I said, God, you know, what do you want us to be focusing on this year? If this year is going to be anything, what would it be? And just that phrase kept coming, that he is making all things new. It's a promise that he has for us. And I think if there's an anchor for us in times that are crazy, you know, times that are just flying by fast and furious, like this year, like last year has gone, like this morning went, you know, it's that in those times, we just know we have this promise from God that has always been, will always be our bedrock. Things in this world may change and shift and reshape and turn this way and that, but we have a promise from God that at all times, in all circumstances, in all situations, he is at work making all things new. Amen? I mean, that means you, that means me, that means this world, that means this nation, that means this age. And so with that in mind, we know that there is no better time to be alive and to be God's people than right now. It's to be right now and to experience God. Now, we know he is always at work. We know he is always making things good. We know he is at work in us. And one of the ways that he does that is what? Is through his word, right? So let's stand up. We're going to take a look at his words. How many of you guys are ready to hear a word of God this morning? How many of you at home are ready to hear a word of God this morning? Because God is here to speak it to us. Last week we said we're going to be standing for the word of God because we want to remind our bodies that this is something that he's telling us so that we can do something with it, not just that we can sit back and listen to it. So you guys ready for that? Matthew 5, verse 13 to 16. Jesus is talking to his followers, his disciples. And he says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city, a town built on a hill can't be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its lampstand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light so shine before others that they see your good works and they glorify your Father who's in heaven. Amen? You know, if I were to ask you, don't sit down yet, if I were to ask you, how did you get to this place in your life? What would you answer? I mean, some of us might say, wow, my hard work, might say, you know, I got great training, I had great opportunities. But if we dug deep, how did we get to the place in our life? We'd all have to say it was people, right? There were people along the way, for good or for bad, poured into our lives, and that's what kind of set the trajectory that got us to where we are, got us here today. Whether that's in our career, whether that's in our walk with Jesus, whether that's in relationships. Because we as people, God has made us so that we, you know, all that is in us, this is what we're going to be talking about today, all that is in us has this way of splashing out, right, and getting out, getting all over everybody else. And other people splashed out, what was in them splashed out on us, and that's what's made us who we are. And the reason we do that is because that's how God made us. He made us to be these people that everything that's poured into us then gets splashed out into others and it influences them. It shapes them. It makes them who they are. So this morning, I want us to be thinking about, as we go before God and we think about this word, I want us to be thinking and considering and talking about what does it mean to go into life knowing that we have this like the splash zone, right? That's all around us. And how we impact and affect other people's lives that wander into or that we intentionally bring into that splash zone of our lives. Amen? Father, this morning I pray that you would use this word to change our hearts, that you would speak through me so it's not my words. My words don't matter. My best ideas don't even come close to the most simple idea you've ever had. So Father, we pray that in this time, in this place, your spirit would be speaking, whether through my words or in spite of them, that you would be speaking into and changing, transforming our hearts in the way that you do, so that you might receive the honor, so that your son Jesus might receive the honor for all that he has done for us, so that you, Holy Spirit, might receive the honor in this place. We pray these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You can be seated. How many of you guys have ever gone to a water park? Yeah? Okay. You at home? I hope that you've had that opportunity. The water park, you know, they have all these different kinds of rides, right? You have your huge drops, you have your wave pools, you have the lazy river. When we would go to water parks, Carrie and I take very different tacks when we go to a water park. Carrie, she loves lazy river. She's like, you know, give me an inner tube that floats around in a circle all day, no drama, I'm good. I'm on the other end of the spectrum. I'm looking for the wildest, you know, kind of drop I can find that leaves my heart in my throat and, you know, all that. That's what I'm looking for. And so one of my favorite rides is, you know, old school, it was the log ride. You know, you pile a bunch of people in this thing that looks like a log, you take them up and down, and now they have these like big multi-person rafts that go through the same thing, right? And you're going around these corners and no loops and jumps, and the it always ends up, inevitably, it ends up with this huge drop at the end, as big as they can think about making it, and it comes to the bottom and they have to slow you down, so they bring you through some deeper water, and that splashes everybody in the raft. But also, at that place that last drop hits the water, there's always like an observation deck, right? There's always this place or this bridge. I remember this one water park that we used to go to in Kansas, and there was this bridge that went over it. And so the people would be up there, and some people would just be walking by. They had no idea what was coming. Or you had the people that were there for the first time, and they'd be looking for their friends coming down this big hill, and they're going, oh, there they are. Isn't that great? And that raft would hit that water, and hundreds of gallons would just be shot up over the rail, and just whoever was there would just drench them. That is a splash zone, right? That is, if you're in it, you're gonna get wet. Now, Jesus, when he was talking in Matthew 5, he tells his followers basically that as we go through our lives, we have our person, we have what goes on interior to us, but we have around us a splash zone. Now, Jesus uses the illustration of light as opposed to a water park. And the main reason for that is because there weren't many water parks in first century Palestine, right? We know that. And so he used the next best thing, which was what he had available, which was this idea of this lamp that you light. And the lesson is still the same. The message is still the same. We have this way that as we go through this light, the works of our lives, the words of our lives, they have a way of spilling and splashing out in from us onto the lives of others. And it changes people. It influences people's lives. It transforms them at times. And so he says, be aware of how your life is splashing out onto others that are living in this zone, in this area around you, and be aware of that area. And the way that he talks about it, he says, when you look at a lamp, you know that lamp was not developed. That lamp was not developed to go hide somewhere or cover up. That lamp was made to be lit. A lamp was meant to shine. And the implication is in the same way, our lives were designed to splash. That's just what we do. That's how we were made. That was the intent. Now, sometimes we splash good on people. Sometimes we splash bad on people. We weren't meant to splash bad. We were designed to splash, the same as a lamp was made to shine. And Jesus says also, when you look at a lamp, when you have a lamp in a room and you want the most light, you find the most strategic place that you can put it. You find a place, a lampstand, where it's going to bring the most light to the most people that are in that room. He says, in the same way, that's what your life should be like. You should be thinking about, how can I leverage my life? How can I strategically set my life in order so that it impacts the most people with the most good, the most light over the course of my life? And these, Jesus is saying, these should be questions that we have. How can I bring the most people into this splash zone, or make the splash zone, increase it so that I can impact the most people possible? Now, at this point, some of you guys, I know that there's some people that are you're out there, you're listening and you're going, you know, that's an important message probably for people that have influence, right? For people that are in important places, people that have jobs where they, you know, or you're a celebrity, or else you're, you know, you're on the town council, or you're some kind of a supervisor or something like that. That's important for those people. But then we have this caveat. We say, but I'm just a fill in the blank, right? I don't count. I'm just a good one is always, I'm just a stay at home mom, right? I'm the low man on the totem pole at work. I'm just a kid. I'm just a senior citizen. We're in lockdown right now. I don't get to influence anybody. That's a message that's fine for others who actually have influence. But right now, I am the lowest man on the totem pole, whatever that totem pole is. It may be the totem pole at work. It may be in your neighborhood network. It may be the totem pole of, you know, how you see yourself in the socioeconomic setup of the whole region. I don't influence. And when we say those things, what we're missing is that Jesus is not talking about what others call importance. I want you to hear this. I want you to think about this. When Jesus was born, he was not born into what we would have called importance. And yet, if you look at the influence that he had, because he was aware of this truth, this reality that God has said that we all have this splash zone, and if we leverage it, God uses us to change people's lives. When Jesus chose his disciples, he didn't choose those who were in those highly influential positions in their community. These were fishermen. These were tax collectors. Now, that's influential, but they were hated. Not exactly the person you'd choose if you wanted to influence your community. He didn't choose people that it wasn't based on what others call importance. He said, no, this is based on the reality that God has designed every single one of us with this splash zone. We come into life with it, and we begin to influence, and we begin to, what God pours into us, we have that opportunity to then splash it out, to shine it out towards others and influence and change and transform their lives. So God says that we all need to influence. We all need to leverage the influence that we have been given. Not if we've been given, that we have been given. We all need to leverage that, use it strategically, that leverage that we've been given in our family, that leverage we've been given with our friends, that leverage that we've been given in our networks and in those that we do teach or train, or with those that we just come into contact with. I think the challenge is this: what if we started thinking about those who, how God might use us, how we could positively impact the person that checks us in at the restaurant that we like going to? And what if we thought about, you know, God, do you want me to just use this one opportunity, this one moment in time? Or do you want me to make this an intentional thing that they're brought into this regular kind of zone on a regular basis because you want to use what you're doing in my life to impact them? So you want me to actually come back to this place again and again, not for the food, but for this person. What if we started thinking about life in that way? What if we started thinking about We began to think about how we might reach out to that new family in our neighborhood or that new family that's moved, you know, into our apartment complex. And we started thinking, you know, how is it that God wants me to regularly kind of splash over into their lives? What he's doing in me through my words, through my works, through just a kind action or a kind word, a word of encouragement, something, just a smile across the parking lot, a hello in the morning. Sometimes is all that people need to feel, you know, there's somebody out there, not just us, but God, who's paying attention to me. What if we started thinking about, you know, doing these things and not with any strings attached? You know, we're not doing this so that we can bring them to church next week. We're not doing this so that we know that, you know, when we're in a hard time that they'll owe us somehow. We're just doing this because we believe that this is what God has made us for. Same as we make a lamp to shine, God has made our lives to splash into the lives of others and influence and impact and transform their lives for the good. That's what we've been made for. And so we try and do it as strategically as good as possible. And then we start saying, hey, and what if we started thinking about how do I, you know, increase? How do I make this splash zone even wider to impact more people? If I lift the lamp up higher, it shines out even wider. We say, well, how do we do that? How do we start to increase the size of that kind of footprint of impact that God uses our life in? That splash zone that he has given to us. Well, one of the ways that we can do that, there's a lot of different ways we can do that, but one of the ways that we can do that is we actually start to, for example, and this is something that we do in this church, we partner with others who are also on the same kind of project. They realize that God has given them a splash zone, but theirs is completely different than ours. But God says, you know what? I want you to work with them. I want you to support them. I want you to be praying for them. I want you to be investing in what they're doing. And that, he says, that not only helps them do what I've called them to do, but that actually is a way that we increase that kind of that area that of people that we're impacting. God is using us to impact through them as well. You know, one of the partners that we have is called Streams of Living Water. They're in South Sudan. And recently they stepped out. They stepped out on faith. They believe that God was calling them to increase their splash zone. And so this is one of the reasons we say, you know, this is why we work with them, because they're on the same kind of project. And what they wanted to do, they wanted to get out in their region and beyond the region that they normally had worked in, but they wanted to get out to more people with the love of God, with the message of Jesus Christ. Now, they sent us a video, and I want us to take a look at the video, because the results of what happened were astounding to them. And this is something we celebrate with them. Because again, this is God working through us to invest in them and to see his work done in South Sudan. So let's take a look at this video.
Last December, Streams of Living Water began their first basics school in Awil, South Sudan. After a month of study, the students plan to spend 1 month traveling to surrounding villages to share the good news of Christ. What follows is a report from one of the leaders telling us about the incredible response they've had after just 2 weeks on the field.
Hello everyone, my name is Walcon. I'm from South Sudan, now in Juba, Tiramis Missionary School, under Streams of Living Water. I'm helping here in Tiramis Missionary School in Juba, and beside this work, the Lord sent me also to Awil, Northern Barrel Ghazali State, to help in training young people and send them out to share the gospel. And because of that, I'm now here sharing with you some of the news and what is happening there, that according to what I collected from our people who are in the field now sharing the gospel. When we trained 90 students plus 19 pastors, this 109 gospel ministers, they went out on day 29 December last year. And they went to about 43 villages so far, and they shared the gospel with about 16,000 individuals in these 43 villages. And out of these 16,000, 14,783 people decided to give their life to Jesus Christ upon hearing the gospel, because Majority of these places, they were not rich with the gospel. And people there are practicing sorcery, and you know they are living the life that they are away from the Lord. They never seen the life of the gospel. And out of these people that they come to the Lord Jesus Christ, there's a three shamans who decided to give their life to Lord Jesus Christ. And these three shamans, they were leading a multitude of the people behind them in worshiping the idols. And you know, they were claiming that they have the supernatural spiritual powers. And then also one old woman, she was also practicing a sorcery, and she used that evil spirit to kill people who did not want, you know, to follow her and do what she wanted to do. And that old woman also, upon hearing the gospel, she decided to join the believers. And in one village of these villages, 49 people were baptized in one day. That is showing the great work that these people are doing, because they are moving from place to place. And you know, I believe also many of you around the world are praying for this work, and they're also continuing sharing the gospel. That's why this good news, now it is before us. I thank you very much for hearing this new good news. Continue praying for us, and may God continue doing his work in our way. God bless you.
Amazing, huh? I mean, I don't know if we get the full impact of what it means that a shaman comes to Christ. But one of the gauges of success for this ministry is not just where the townspeople come, because the townspeople typically will not come unless their spiritual leader, which is typically a shaman, comes to Christ. And so to see three shamans come to Christ who really oversee these large areas, when they say, no, there's something here, there's something to this gospel, that has an amazing influence. So out of these, you know, you're seeing 14, almost 15,000 people who, again, either are reaffirming, but really many of these are first time, most of these are first time kind of commitments because they've been in this other system. That's amazing. And these are one of the ways that we as a church, we say, you know, we're going to increase this splash zone that God has given us, is we partner with ministries like this that are seeing this type of work happen. But what I'm going to guess is not many of you are feeling called probably to train up over 100 pastors and send them out. And not many of you are seeing on a regular basis, you know, thousands, tens of thousands of people coming to Christ. Now, does that mean God can't do it? No, but that means that, you know, there aren't a whole lot of us that are feeling that is the call that he has on us. So then we say, well, so that may be true, but we can be partnering, right? Even if that's not our call, that's one of the ways that God says, if you want to see your influence increased, then partner with those who are gifted and called in those ways. Support, pray for. That's why the whole end of that was pray for our ministry. Amen? So, and many of you are doing this. Some of you guys are partnering with those already. You're partnering through like Covenant Kids Congo, or you're partnering through Compassion International. You're sponsoring kids to make a difference in someone else's life through another ministry. Some of you are partnering in this area with agencies and ministries that are doing great things in this place, and you are partnering with them because that is how God is using you to influence the lives of others. But there's a second way that I want to focus on for the rest of our time together, and that is that we intentionally become, this is us taking that lamp and putting it on a lampstand. We intentionally become those who enter into, take advantage of, take the opportunities to be trained, to be shaped, to become aware and effective in splashing out and in being aware of what is it that God has given us to splash out into the lives of others. We intentionally develop this splash zone that is around our lives, that's impacting those people that we rub shoulders against every day, so that they go away just doused with, drenched with the love of God, the grace of God, the compassion of Jesus Christ, understanding who he is and how he loves them. You know, in this series up to this point, we've talked about two things. A couple of weeks ago, we said we need to be, and it's come out of this picture, right? We need this to be the picture of our lives, right? I want my life to be such that I see God pouring down into me, and that life that he pours into me splashes out into others. Last week, what we talked about is we need this to be the picture of our church, that God has framed us so that he can make us a place where when we gather together, that we understand who we are as individuals, as members of the body of Christ, but then we come together as the body of Christ. And then he uses us to express this on an even larger level, that he pours into this church. And as a result, the church, we splash out into our community and impact our region for Christ. Well, today, the part that we haven't talked about as much, we haven't talked about what it means. What is that splashing part, right? We talked about the frame. We talked about who God is and how to, but we haven't talked about what it means to splash outward. How do we impact these people? And how do we as a church splash outward? And what I want us to think about, one of the things that God has put us, given to us to be focusing on as a church this year, is what does it mean to not just be the church gathered, because this is how we splash outward as a church, but the church that God distributes into our community as he sends us from this place. We gather to train, we gather to be equipped, we focus on that, but then we go. And he brings us into our homes. He brings us into our neighborhoods. He brings us into our networks. He uses us to impact people that, frankly, the rest of us don't have any. You may have contact with and have kind of an inside line to someone's life that the rest of us, we can't touch. We can't talk to them at all. You may work with a group of people that you are the witness of Christ in that group. You're it. So, as God sends us, he sends us to distribute so that we might be the church in that place. Not just that when we get together, we're the church, but we're trained up so that then when he distributes us and he sends us out, he sends us out as the church to then be his witness and be that church to then splash his compassion, his kindness, his goodness over those whose lives we cross every day. That is part of what Jesus is talking about in Matthew when he says, so let your light shine in such a way that those who, they'll see your good works and they'll glorify your Father who's in heaven. You know, at this moment, I don't know if some of you guys are, whether we think about this or not, but for those of you who are at home, I want you to remember this, right? 90% of the people that are engaging with this service right now are not in this room. 90% of you are in your homes. You're in that place. You're in the middle of that splash zone that we're talking about. And God is saying, you know what? We need to be asking, how can I increase the effectiveness of the way that God pours himself into me and splashes out through me in this place, in my home, in this home base, and with these people that engage with me in this place that I spend most of my time. So that we're not thinking, how can God be more showing more of his witness as we gather as the church? That's important. But also critical to what God, you know, we talked about how can we be better members of the body so when we come together, we can be a better body. But all of that, he says, is so that he can train us out and then send us out as his witnesses, send us out as those testimonies of the life and the person and the love and the compassion of Jesus Christ, wherever we are. Now, how do we do that? Well, I think we all know how does our life splash out in the lives of others? One, it's our words, right? What we say to people, it's our actions, what we do in their lives is how we act towards them. There's a third one I want us to think about that oftentimes we forget about this one. but it's our prayers. Do you realize that God has called you as his own child? His own child. So wherever you are, you have access to him. And you can intercede on behalf of anybody, on behalf of any situation, and God hears you as a father hears his child. Don't tell me that that's not important as we think about how do our lives splash into the lives of others. The time that we invest on our knees on behalf of other people is critical. That's how God uses us to bring his love and his life into them. So are we asking that question? God, how can you use me? Not just when the church gets together, but how can you use me when you send me home after this, right? How can you use me in that place with those people that meet and interact with me in that part of my life where I spend most of my life? Because most of our life isn't together in this or any other building, right? It's out there in life. And God says, I want you to do the work to prepare to be that person who is. That's why he brings us together, so that we can build each other up, so we can be trained, so that we can be shaped, and then go out and be his people. So the church as not just as gathered, but the church is scattered, that's what we see. Honestly, that's where we're the most powerful. You know, it's interesting as you look at church history. Throughout church history, God regularly, he gathers people together and he does these amazing things, and people are all, you know, it's like, wow, isn't it amazing how God's showing up and the things that he's doing and the miracles that are happening, lives that are being changed, and then he allows something to come in that just blows it apart. You go, why'd you do that, God? It was so good. But what you see is when things scatter and the people go scattering outward, what happens is that then you see another little movement start over here and another movement start over here. And everywhere that they were scattered, they're more like seeds that go out. And all of a sudden you see these new plants start coming up. And it's almost like he does it on purpose, right? So you have like in the book of Acts, you have that day of Pentecost where the church is born and the Holy Spirit comes down and they're talking, speaking in tongues, you know, and speaking in other languages that other people in the audience, they understand. And thousands of people come to Christ. You know, the first mega church that's mentioned in the Bible is the church of Jerusalem that first few weeks. If you count the numbers, you're talking about probably tens of thousands of people that are involved in the first church that God established. Does that mean that he wants mega churches? No, but it says that he can do things through these big flurry of activity things where he gathers people together and he's doing these amazing kind of works. And it got to the place that these people were so enamored and so, I mean, God's presence was so real and miracles were happening at the hands of the apostles that some of these people had come from all over the known world, all over the Roman Empire and beyond, to be in Jerusalem for the feast that God had called them to, and they had become Christians. They were so caught up in what was going on, they didn't even want to go home. They're just like, you know, we're just going to stick around here and find out what God's doing. And they were trained up, their lives were changed, everything. But then God, he allowed the persecution to start. So first they're harassed a bit, then a few of them are thrown in jail, and a few of them are killed. About that time, the people say, you know, I think it's time to go home, right? I think, you know, it was great, but things are getting rough. I think they're not killing people at home for this stuff. I'll go there. But what we see is then they scatter, they go home, and what happens? Well, a church pops up in Rome. A church pops up in Alexandria. A church pops up, you know, up in Damascus and all over these places where these people go home. These churches start popping up. Why? Because that's where the church is most powerful. Not just the church gathered, but also the church distributed. That's what God has always intended. He intended it then and he intends it now. He intends that we don't just be a church that gets into this kind of what people would call this holy huddle and get used to it and love it and want to never leave, but rather we let him send us out. So because that is where the splash zone, that's when the splash zone, it increases. The area grows, the amount of lives that are impacted, they grow. So how can we best prepare? How can we intentionally think about this, strategically leverage our lives so that we have the greatest impact, share the most of God's goodness and his love with the most possible people in our lives? How can we start thinking? How do we start doing that? The first thing we need to do is that we need to make sure, like in this picture, we need to make sure that this flow of God's, as he pours into us, that that's unhindered. We want to make sure that that is not, that that's not, there's nothing impeding the flow of God pouring into our lives. Okay? So we've been talking about that the last couple of weeks. A couple of weeks ago especially. So making sure that, one, we have a relationship with Jesus. That that tap is turned on. It doesn't say that God just starts pouring into our lives just because we exist. It says that we enter into a relationship with him and we say, you know what, God, I want this to be the picture of my life. He says, if that is, then through Jesus, I'm going to turn this water on. I'm going to turn the hose on. But the other is, you know, make sure that we're listening and following him when he nudges us, when he prompts us. Make sure that obedience is a regular part of our lives. Make sure that our attitude towards him is always this, okay? This is not about me. This is all about you. It's not about my agenda. It's not about my wishes, my desires. It's not about me. This is all about you. When we start putting our filters on this, that's when it starts kind of hindering this flow of what God wants to do in and how he wants to pour into our lives. We start getting in the way. So daily, we need to make sure that we're getting ourselves out of the way. We're getting our agendas, our plans, our you know, how we see what kind of our wisdom. Get that out of the way. So that instead, we can start seeing God's agenda show up in our lives. And he can stream into us unhindered. Second is this. We need to make sure that as he splashes out from us, that it's really undiluted, right? It's, again, it's not, we're not getting in the way of him coming into us, but we're also not wanting kind of to capitalize and say, well, God's pouring into us, but I want you to make me more known, right? None of you guys come here on Sunday mornings because you want to hear my best thoughts. We never go to church for that. We never come into God's presence. We never spend time in prayer. We never go to God's word hoping to hear somebody else's best thoughts. We're always listening, saying, God, are you going to speak through this person? My prayer every time I stand up in front of you is, God, don't let them hear me. Whatever it takes, let them hear you. I want you to come through undiluted. And we need to be praying that about our words. We need to be praying that about our actions. We need to be praying that about how we pray for others. That it's not about me. It's all about you. And that I want your work to not just pour into me unhindered, but to splash out from me undiluted so people see Jesus and not just me. The third is this. We need to figure out what is that splash zone that God has set up around us. Who are those people that God has set us up to have the most impact on? So who are those friends? Who are those families? What are those networks and those neighborhoods and those kind of niches in our society that God has put us into so that he can use us in that place to make him known? Now, there are a couple of questions we need to ask. One is, who are those people that God has already brought us close to and given us those access, that in, that place where we can influence and we can kind of just be a part of their lives and speak, splash into their lives. But there's another important question that we also need to ask. Who are those people that God wants me to get closer to? Does God want me to move this lamp so it shines better in this other corner, this dark corner here that's not getting much light? Does God want me to adjust my life so that there are people that I'm not maybe as engaged with right now, but I have the opportunity to get closer to them? That's often how we find out kind of the ministry, the calling that God has on our life, because he raises up an individual or a group of people. He says, you know what, students, I want you to invest in the lives of students. And we go, oh, okay, and we start moving towards that ministry. Or God says, you know what, I want you to start a work among the opportunity to work with, whether it's prisoners, you know, there are not many people that have access in prisons, you know, and I'm saying this specifically because we have actually somebody in our congregation and we have a couple of people that are very passionate about this ministry. But to have the opportunity, we say, well, maybe that's what God's calling me to. And it becomes a ministry in our lives. For me, it was youth. My brother was in junior high, and I said, you know what? God wants me to pull closer to my brother. He wants me to influence their friends. Youth ministry, and it became a kind of the pathway by which I've gotten everywhere I've gotten ever since. For some of you, it may be, you know what? God wants me to set up in the neighborhood. He wants me to impact this place that I live. In this apartment complex, I love Don Yeoman. He's always out there. He's always meeting his next door neighbors. Doesn't matter who they are. And he continues, he works at it. Don Yeoman, again, he takes a group out and they meet intentionally over at Cracker Barrel every week. And by now, the whole wait staff knows who these guys are. And they come up to them and they say, you know what, can you guys pray for us? Because I got this stuff going on in my life. I'm not even sure I believe what you guys believe, but if you guys, I know you pray for stuff, I'm willing to take a chance because I know you. They've been there long enough that it's like God said, you know what, I want you to set up a splash zone right here. So where is God calling you to set up your splash zone? What is it that he is, what are those lives? Who are those people that he's called you to impact? The fourth is this, learn how God has formed you to splash out that grace, right? Learn how God has formed you. We talked about this 2 weeks ago. Learn your gifts. Learn your personality, your bents, your wiring so that you know, some of you, when it comes to the use of words, some of you are orators and you should be up here preaching. And we have room for that, to make room for you to learn how to do that and to have opportunity. Some of you are going, yeah, that's not me. I'm one who comes alongside somebody and gives words of encouragement to one-on-one, personal. And it's like, is one better than the other? No, no. God is saying, I'm gonna cover this whole territory with you and with you and you with you, and you're gonna do it differently, but figure it out how it is that I want you to do that. So some of you, you might say, I wanna make a difference by working through the care center. Some of you may say, I wanna make a difference. I wanna organize like a food drive in my neighborhood or with this group that I'm a part of. I wanna, whatever it is, figure out how God wants you, how he has formed you to do this work of splashing out, how he has formed this splash zone and uses you to impact those people. Those four things, if we do them, that's how God gets us ready to then send us out in the world. And then we say, well, how do I know? How do I know if I have made an impact in a person's life? Matthew tells us very clearly. We can say, you know, I think it's emotion. No, it's not about whether they cry or not. You know, it's not about whether they all of a sudden they comprehend everything, that they understand the Bible when they read through it. It doesn't say whether they compliance, you know, that suddenly they say, I'm going to do everything you say. In fact, that frustrates us sometimes. We say, you know, I influence this person and their life hasn't changed at all. God says, that's not it. In Matthew, it says very clearly, the thing that's the clearest evidence that God has been splashing out through you, his life, is that the person won't even look at you, but they'll turn to God and they'll thank, and not some distant deity in heaven, right? Not some angry guy that's up there ready to hit them, but they will thank, they will give glory to our Father. Because what they have felt through you, what has come through you, has been the kindness and goodness of a father's love. And for some of them, that's going to be the first time that they're ever introduced to the idea that maybe God is more like a good father than he is like an angry dictator or somebody that's mad at, you know, at us for messing up his whole plan. It says they will turn to him and give him glory for that experience of that kindness and the goodness. Roman goes on in the book of Romans and it says, and through that kindness and goodness, that's how people get back to God. That's how they find freedom in Christ. That's how they're set free to become that person so that God can start pouring through their lives and setting up a splash zone around them to impact and change other people's lives and transform lives. That's what happens when we allow God to impact, to set up, when we think strategically, say, how can I leverage my life so it will impact the most people with the most good over the course of my life? How can I cooperate with what God has designed me to be and to do? So today, what is our challenge? What's our marching orders? Is this. Go out today when you leave this place. Go out as the church distributed and drench somebody with God's love. Whether through your words, whether it's through your actions, whether it's through your prayers, go out and just soak somebody with the compassion of Christ. Amen? Amen. Let's learn how, what this splash zone is. Let's learn how to use it. Let's let God pour into us in all his glory and splash out from us and make Jesus known. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for this challenge of who you have made us to be, how you have designed us, all you have called us to. Father, we ask that in Jesus' name, you would make yourself known through us, that it wouldn't just be that you pour into us and we hoard it, we hold it back, but rather we would learn how to let you through. We get ourselves out of the way with all our brokenness, all our habits, our hang-ups, all of our hesitations, our questions about ourselves. We'd get out of the way and just let you pour in the fullness of who you are, and then splash outward and just drench this world with your love, with your compassion, your grace, your calling as our Father, so that people would see the light that we shine, the good works that we do, and they would glorify you, our Father in heaven. We pray this for your glory. We pray this in the name and the power of Jesus Christ, by the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen.